Philippians chapter 4. Now, we've been talking all this summer about the great abilities of God. God is able to do incredibly, abundantly above all that we ask or think. What an amazing statement about our God. And we looked at that last week, took a look at that. What does that mean, that God is able to do more than we could ever imagine or ever think, according to the power that works in us? That's the rest of that verse. And today we want to focus our minds in these few moments together on that part of God's provision. Someone said earlier, in finances, God has his part and we have our part. It's one thing to know that this great God is sufficient for everything. He knows the condition of the liver, your liver and mine. And if need be, he knows how to supply a new liver if you need one. Or he may choose not to supply a new liver. What then? Has God failed? Is God somehow capricious in the distribution of his gifts and his ability? Well, the passage we're going to read together tells us that the Apostle Paul went to school. There you go, boys and girls. The Apostle Paul uses language in this passage to talk about his experience in school. As a matter of fact, though he's probably in his at least 40s, maybe 50-year-old, 50-plus, Paul is still learning things. And that's the language he uses in these verses. As they're on the screen, read them with me. Finally, brethren, read with me. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now, at last, your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's not the statement of a visionary, ambitious young teenager. That's the reasoned report of an experienced, mature believer who's gone through tough experiences in his or her life and has learned. Remember last week, I tried to push your mind beyond what you normally have bound it to think about, and we asked the question, when you're standing still, how fast are you moving? Remember that? And we discovered that if you take the rotation of the earth, about 1,000 miles an hour, and if you take the orbiting motion of the earth around the sun, and then you add to that the path that the earth takes as it tracks with the sun and the sun's movement within our galaxy, you're about 600,000 miles an hour. That's the speed at which you're traveling now. I asked the guys to do a little math. If you take 600,000 miles per hour, and it's been 168 hours since we sat here, look how far you've traveled. 100,800,000 miles. Are you tired? You should be. That's a tremendous difference. Now, that's, listen, that's not magic. That's not even funny. That's reality. You're whirling through space on a course that you didn't chart at a speed that you can't compute. And right now, you're occupying space in God's universe that is 100 million miles from where you were last week when you sat here. I tell you, the God who is able to do that day in and day out, week in and week out, month in, month out, year in, year out, generation after generation, is a great God. He is incredibly powerful, and he is enormously good. Now, the verse that is our text today talks about how this great power of God, this great ability of God, is infused into you and to me. That is, if you know him as your personal Lord and Savior, if you have made that commitment of your life to him so that he has been invited to come into the space of your heart and life, and to take control and to direct all the energies and activities of your being. It's all wrapped up in that marvelous verse, verse 13, where Paul, in responding to the gracious gifts of some friends back in Philippi, is saying, "Thanks for the gift. I so appreciate the gift. And my thanksgiving is not based upon the fact that I'm hurting, I've got needs, and you were gracious in responding to needs. That's not the basis of my thank you. Because you see, I have learned something walking with God day by day. I have learned that I am able." That's what he's saying. If you could get behind the translation in your Bible to the Greek words that Paul used as he expressed this, the Greek statement says very simply, "I am able through the one who is dynamiting, energizing in me." Now break that down for a moment. Paul is making a statement about his own confidence, his own ability, his own sufficiency, his own learned experience, that there's absolutely nothing anywhere at any time that's going to overwhelm him. He will never lack anything he needs in any circumstance, at any time, to do the will of God. Oh, that's the hooker, isn't it? Most of us would like that passage to say that God has committed himself to be my personal genie. And all I have to do is pick up my Bible and rub it 3 times and put it on my heart and bow my head, and God will mysteriously appear and say, "Yes, my child, what is it you want of me this time? Any 3 things you wish are yours. Just name it and claim it." That's what we wish the passage says. But it doesn't. See, earlier in this book, Paul had said, in chapter 2, he had said, "You Philippians need to understand that it is God who is working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." And Paul had embraced that as the purpose of his life. He had said, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." He understood, as Jesus clearly taught, that God is not interested in making me a hero. God is not primarily concerned with my ease and comfort in this life. God is concerned with more important things about me, things that relate to my character, things that relate to my inner being, things that relate to His work in my life, shaping me and making me like Him, things that have eternity in view. That's what God is committed to accomplishing. And Paul says, as I pursue that, I want you to know that I am able, because I am being enabled by one who energizes me from the inside. Now, twice in the preceding verses, the Apostle Paul uses that word learned. Look at them with me for just a moment. First of all, up there in chapter 4 and in verse 11, Paul begins by saying, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." Now, that word learned means to gain by experience. It means that Paul has thought through the experiences of his life. He's not just like a ping pong ball being batted back and forth. He has thought about life. He has thought about the things that God has done in his life in the past. And from that, Paul has come to the reasoned understanding. He has come to the experienced confidence that in whatever state, whatever condition, whatever the externals may be, I am satisfied. The word contentment sometimes gives us the idea that people lay back and they're passive and they're not engaged in the actual contest of engaging life and making decisions and choosing what is good and engaging themselves in meaningful projects. Now, contentment in the Bible doesn't mean that, but the word here translated content means, in whatever state I am, I've learned I have sufficient. That's the way to translate it. I am satisfied. Now, what that tells you is that Paul had come to the place in his life, walking with the Lord, where he was no longer dependent upon external circumstances. Wow. Do you realize how revolutionary that thought is? That nothing that happens to me tomorrow determines my destiny or dictates my response. I am no longer dependent upon external circumstances. I heard a pastor teaching his congregation 10 principles for effectiveness at work, and one of the principles was a good one. He said, listen, don't go to your office to be affirmed. That's not where you get affirmation. And I thought, that's brilliant. Now, you need to respect your boss, but you don't worship him. You need to be friendly and open toward those around you, but whether they like you or don't like you doesn't dictate your effectiveness. Your satisfaction in the work environment is not based upon their approval of you. You have someone else who approves of you. And you can be absolutely satisfied to know that your Heavenly Father is delighted in what you're doing. And you're really there to please Him And he is there with you to energize you so that you're not dependent upon them. And your mood swings don't flow with their acceptance or rejection. And whatever happens in the economy, and whatever happens at the job, and whatever happens in the lives of neighbors and friends, those things don't knock you off stride. You're running your own race. In the world of athleticism, they talk about running from within, playing from within. What does that mean? It means that I engage the game concentrating on doing my best with all that I have and not in any way dependent upon those around me and the conditions they may create as they either oppose me or support me. That's what Paul said he had learned. Have you learned that? Have you learned that? That as a Christian, you can be and ought to be satisfied, content, at peace in any circumstance of life, in any set of conditions you find, because you're not vitally connected to them as the resource you need to be effective within that particular set of circumstances. You're resourced from outside, but the outside resource is not the friend, the associate, the weather. It's the God who loves you and has saved you. So Paul went through life knowing and believing and confident that he would be satisfied regardless what the circumstances were. That's something he learned through experience. But Paul also uses that word learned again. Look at it in verse 12. He says, everywhere and in all things, I have learned. Now, that word is not the same word. That's a different experience. That word means I have been initiated. I have been taught the secret. That word was the word that was used in Paul's day when a guy joined a secret lodge, and there were a lot of them back in Paul's day. And the thing that made it secret was that this group of fellows in this club were over a period of time initiated or given access to secrets, things that nobody else knew. And the theory was that because I know these secrets, I now have a binding relationship with all others who know the secrets, and we therefore have an advantage over the average Joe and the average Jane who don't know these secrets. You couldn't learn those secrets unless you joined the club. That's the idea. If there's one profound secret, one profound mystery in the Christian faith, one that takes the top of the list of all the things that God tells us when we become part of his family, here it is. God, when you came to him through Jesus Christ, God infused his spirit into your very body and spirit. God no longer just sets up there, although he does, but God, through the power of his Holy Spirit, comes to dwell inside you as a believer. And all the resources that God has of wisdom and strength and power, all of those resources God brings with him when he comes to live within you. So that the Christian life is not me struggling and trying to do the things that please God as hard as I can work. Christian life is me learning to access the resources that God brings inside me by His Spirit. That's the secret to being a Christian. Whole passages of New Testament are given to this. Read, for instance, Galatians chapter 5, where it talks about someone who is a professing believer and they walk according to the energy of the flesh. And what happens? Disaster. And what's the solution? Walk in the Spirit. Allow the Spirit of God who dwells within you to energize your mind and heart. Seek His wisdom. See His direction. Follow His leading. Obey His prompting. And He will transform you. Romans chapter 12, 1 through 12 talks about it. Romans chapter 6 says that when we came to Jesus Christ, we were taken out of a position of being dead. And by the Spirit of God, like the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we were brought into vital contact with God through His Spirit. And His Spirit lives inside of us. And the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, never leaves us. And He is there to equip us. He is there to enjoy us. He is there to pray for us and with us. He is there to empower us. He will never leave us. So that the life which I now live in my fleshly body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me, and who expresses His will, His mind, His power, and His strength in and through me. So what is the full capacity of Jim Custer as a child of God? What's the full capacity? The resources of the boundless God dwells within him. And that's what Paul says. Paul says, I got the secret. I now understand that because and in the power of the one who is energizing me, the word comes from dynamite, the one who is inwardly dynamiting me, because of His resources, because of His strength, because of His wisdom, because of His presence, because of who He is, I am able in any and every circumstance. It doesn't matter if I have more food than I can eat or if I'm going hungry. That doesn't matter. Trivial, non-essential. It doesn't matter if Nero knows my name, or if the jailer in charge of my cell can never remember my name. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. This marvelous God who is able to do everything, anything, and all things is the one who dwells inside Paul and energizes him. So Paul is resourced from within. And he's not dependent upon circumstances from without. Well, that's our lesson for today. Next week, we're going to look at how God does this, especially in the realm of our work. I would suppose this morning I may be talking to someone who has never turned their lives over to Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. You may have been raised to church. You may have been baptized. You may have never seen a Bible before this morning. And all this sounds strange. My friend, you are invited by your Creator to have a personal relationship with Him through faith in Jesus Christ. He will forgive you of all of your sins, everything that separates you from Him. And He will initiate the contact for you, with you. He will do that. That's His part. If you'll receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, He is the one who makes that contact possible. And if you've never done that, I encourage you this morning to do that. And If you are a Christian this morning, can you look at the circumstances? Or let me change it this way. Have you learned yet? Have you learned through your experience that outward conditions are not the measure of your success, of your capacity? That you have one who lives inside you, who can take you through every imaginable kind of circumstance, and you can be satisfied in the midst of that circumstance, no matter what it is, because he's in control. Have you learned the secret yet? That being a Christian is not me working harder, being smarter. Being a Christian is learning to trust and obey God the Holy Spirit who dwells within me. And as long as he's energizing and directing, you have more than you'll ever need for every and any circumstance in life. You're living with a tough mate? Children won't obey? Bills are bigger than the paycheck? Physical health problem? All of these are opportunities God allows us to experience so that we will learn what Paul did, that our ability does not come from out there. It comes from the one who dwells in heaven and by his Spirit energizes us from within. Our Father in heaven, make that lesson very clear. Drive it into the soft tissue of our minds and hearts. Help me to take a difficult relationship at work. Help me to take the uncertainty of our relationship at home. Help me to take the frustration of demands that are made upon me relentlessly. Help me learn in all of these pressure, stress-filled situations that you are sufficient and you will enable me so I can be content and confident and truly successful. Not in the way this world measures success, but in the deeper, truer measures of what God can do. As I turn to him in the midst of my need, and he enables me. This quiet moment, where in your heart, in your life, in what circumstances are you willing to have God teach you that lesson? What tough challenges on the horizon, and are you willing to take that challenge and right now ask God to show you, to enable you to do his will, not your will, his will? Perhaps next Sunday we will be able to return here to celebrate the experiences you've had this week where you have learned that I am enabled through the one who energizes me from the inside. Father, help us as we think of these things. Help us as we experiment with deeper trust in you and deeper obedience to the things your Spirit within prompts us to do. Help us to spend more time this week with the Bible, the manual that shows us how and why, what and more time praying to you to strengthen our understanding of what you would have us do, and drawing upon the resources that you were so eager to provide, that we might be content and able in every circumstance of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.